May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 331. Beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Saviour divine, diffuse thy light to guide my doubtful footsteps right. Hymn 331.
To read together from the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 14. The prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 14. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say, unto them thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out mine hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land, and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more, when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine, and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you. But when ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us to pray. Kind and gracious, eternal Lord God, it is indeed thy kindness and goodness and mercy that we are found here in thy courts this morning hour, and that thou hast not been strict to mark iniquity, because if the Lord were strict to mark iniquity, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Then, dear Lord, we come, praying that we may have that holy fear of God in gracious exercise in our hearts, that we may indeed be found looking unto Jesus. Why we think of the prophet's word, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Lord, then, to whom else can we go? Dear Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, we come then praying that here this day there may be thy blessing resting upon thy word, so that poor sinners shall hear the words of eternal life. There is nowhere else for us to go. And we pray then that thou art be very gracious, have mercy upon us, and remember not the sins of our youth and all our transgressions and faults and failings. We pray that they may all be covered with the mantle of thy forgiving love. Dear Lord Jesus, we seek then thy help, that we may be found humble at thy feet, humble in the dust, be found worshipping thee in spirit and in truth, yea, in the very beauties of holiness. Why, there were those that worshipped thee, we read of them in thy word, and oh, we find them at thy feet, dear Lord Jesus, as a poor woman washing thy feet with tears, as a poor man in the temple crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's a poor leper, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Then may we come in like manner, and truly worship thee this day. And we pray to be granted that faith to believe that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. Dear Lord, draw near to us. Lord, we've come into thy courts. Lord, we pray that the world may be shut out of our thoughts. We can come in, Lord, but we cannot always shut out the world that's within us. We pray then that thou help us. These things may be cast out, that we may be found looking alone unto Jesus. We may have our eyes fixed on him and our ears attentive to thy word. We may be found like dear Mary there in Martha's house, and we read, and Mary sat at thy feet and heard thy word. Lord, that's where we want to be today, at thy feet, and hear thy word, the word of eternal life, the blessing of God that makes rich, adding no sorrow therewith. Oh, that our ears then might be opened, and our hearts be made ready to receive thy word, that it may that there may be that seed planted within, so that it brings forth that fruit to thy praise and thy glory. Then hear our prayers. We do bow our head before thee then in confession of all our sin and guilt. Good Augustus Top Lady said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die." Lord, there's nowhere else for us to go. There's nowhere else for us to go. We come to thee, Lord Jesus, praying thy blessing, and that thou come here and be found here in our midst, this morning hour, this day, here in thy courts, so that thou art here in divine control, control over one's heart and thoughts and lips, so that we speak those things, Lord, that according to thy divine will and to thy praise, and that others, Lord, may come, Lord, receive thy word. Oh, we each need that gracious divine anointing. Anointing to hear and anointing to speak. Then draw near, dear Lord Jesus, and do bless us. Oh, we ask that we may not meet together in vain. We ask that there may be that outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, that enduring of power from on high. Then, Lord, hear our prayers. Now, we thank thee, Lord, for all the kindness and mercy and all the goodness bestowed upon us. Indeed, thy mercies are truly very, very great. They're very many. Our needs are abundantly supplied. We're blessed with a measure of health and strength, some more so than others. But Lord, we've each that sufficient health and strength to be found here in thy courts this morning. And we do thank thee for that. And we pray thou'lt be with us then. Oh, the comforts that abound, the roof over our heads, the beds that we lie on, for loved ones, for the house of God, for an open Bible, the preaching of the gospel. Thank thee for thy beloved Son, who said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, then may poor sinners here this day be found amongst those whosoever. Oh, that faith may be given to believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear our prayers. Undertake then for each and all. Dear Lord, we pray that remember this little cause of truth to bless them together, to bind them together in that love and unity in the bond of peace, and make thy goodness pass before them in the way. Lord, do graciously work here in their midst. There are those, Lord, here whom thou hast blessed, whom thou hast worked, whereas thou hast begun that good work of thy grace. And thy word declares that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, but it may be, Lord, there are some here, Lord, where that work has not been begun. We're thankful, Lord, that they're found here in thy house. And oh, that this may be the appointed time when, Lord, they shall be quickened into divine life, when they shall hear thy voice, when they will fear and tremble at thy word, when they will be blessed with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, and that they may begin to pray. Oh, gracious Lord, do hear it. Lord, we cannot bear the piercing thought, what if any name, and anyone in this assembly this morning should be left out when thou for them shalt call, then, Lord, do put forth thy hand. Quicken then souls into divine life, and give them to cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Pray that thou wilt bless. We ask thee to bless thy servants as they come here to preach. Oh, that they may lift Jesus high in the pole of the gospel, and that serpent-bitten sinners might look and live. They may declare the counsel of God, may preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Then do bless. We pray that thou wilt remember our friends here that hold office, undertake for them and be with them, and know it's all about their concerns, and the concerns of each and every one that's got a concern for the house of God and for the peace and prosperity of Zion. We pray that thou wilt graciously bless them together. And Lord, and do grant that there may indeed be many sinners round to come and fill the place. Who they are, where they are, we know not, but thou knowest. The foundation of God stands sure, and the Lord knoweth them that are his. Dear Lord, how many pass this, the doors of this chapel, Lord, and they probably go in, a lot of them, Lord, they go into the shop just by the chapel, Lord, but they never come in here. Lord, that which they buy there in the shop, they have to pay for. But here, salvation is sovereign, rich, and free. Oh, that thou wouldst grant, Lord, spiritual appetite for the things of God, hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Lord, that they may come in, Lord. Maybe they come in with their shopping, Lord, and it may be, Lord, they be like that woman, and they leave the water pot, and they go home and tell their friends, come see a man that told me all that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Dear Lord, thou art able. We do not dictate to thee. We do humbly ask that thou graciously work for thine own great namesake. Prayer for prodigals, those that have left and forsaken the house of God, bring them back. They're in our family circles. And thou knowest those that carry heavy burdens regarding those that have left and forsaken the house of God. Lord, do have mercy upon them. Do snatch them as brands from the burning. And it may be some, the Lord, have left this chapel, and perhaps they now tend some other place of worship. Lord, and if thy glorious truth is not preached there, Lord, don't let them feed on the husks that the swine eat. Do deliver them, Lord, and cause them to return to their Father's house. Hear our prayers. Dear Lord, do build up Zion then, for thine own great name's sake, for thy glory and praise. We pray now for all in sickness and affliction's path. Do undertake, remember them, do help them, bless them, bring them through. And always those that have anxieties, we pray for them that thou remember them. Some, dear Lord, thy people have been under a surgeon's hand. Some others have to have treatment of some kind or other. Some have terminal illnesses. Remember them. Oh, dear Lord, do appear. And comfort all that mourn, walk in bereavement's path. Remember them, bless them. And pray thou'lt be with others in deep trials and troubles, difficulties, those, Lord, where there's divisions, those that need thee to make the crooked thing straight and the rough place plain, those that cry day and night unto thee, but for thee to mercifully appear, those things that are impossible with man to be found possible with God, to prove that thou art a prayer hearing and answering God, able to make them the rough place plain, the crooked straight. We do pray for the dear children here and the little ones. Dear Lord, remember them. Do help them. The children at school, be with them. Keep and preserve them, Lord, from the many harms and dangers. Some of them, Lord, may be physical dangers. But Lord, we think of the dangers, Lord, that are set before them, maybe in the classroom, Lord, by those that know thee not. Oh, that the children may be blessed to realise when error is put before them and when truth is put before them. Oh, that they may be blessed with the grace of discernment. Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee. Dear Lord, do grant it. Be with them. Pray for the nation. Appear for us. Oh, what solemn things and events take place in our land. Arise for our help. Lord, as our Prime Minister, Lord, is in thy hand. Just as Manasseh was in thy hand. And thou didst take him. And thou didst bind him in fetters and iron. And it was there that he humbled himself. And thou art still the same. David Cameron is not beyond thy power, not beyond thy limits. Lord, do graciously work. Do appear for us. Raise up for us men of God. Govern those that govern us. Prayer for others in the world, particularly those that are persecuted. Remember them. Hold them up. Graciously support them. And remember the persecutors as well. Oh, visit their souls. Just as thou did Saul of Tarsus on Damascus Road. Dear Lord, do help. Others that are in famine and death and disease. Others where there's war and bloodshed. And Lord, do appear for us. For the poor man in the world. Lord, and thou knowest those that follow and worship Muhammad and Allah. Lord, do visit their souls. Do appear. O gracious Lord, do cause thy glorious gospel to be preached and heard throughout this world. Lord, arise for our help. Help us to look to thee. Pardon then all our sin. Accept our humble thanks. Make up where we've failed in asking. Forgive where we've asked amiss. But dear Lord, do come now. And do graciously fulfill thy blessed word. That word whereby thou didst say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then come and open one's mouth. Touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. We plead the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn 980.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask Your very prayerful attention to the chapter we read, Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel 14, verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. You perhaps might say, how did you come by a text like this? Well, quite simple. I read in my Bible yesterday morning, I got here to this 14th chapter of Ezekiel. As I read down, these words seemed to rest upon one spirit. And why, the chapter indeed is very solemn. The context is very solemn. Here there were some hypocritical idolaters. They're reproved. The Lord commissions his servant Ezekiel to speak to these men. But then you come down the chapter here, again, verse 12, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, when a land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Why, he tells us here in the 21st verse about how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. And these four sore judgments are here mentioned from verse 12 to verse 19. And yes, and why our land, our nation, and indeed this poor dying world, indeed has been visited by God's sore judgments over the years. Why, here verse 19, if I send a pestilence in the land, I send a pestilence in the land, some sore plague, when many people die. My history is not that good, but I don't know how long ago it was, a few hundred years, but some of you children be able to tell me, but there was what was called the Great Plague in London. And apparently they used to come round each morning, bring out your dead. So many people died of that great plague. Yes, the pestilence. But in more recent years, there's been flu epidemics throughout the land. But there's also been in the cattle, yes, foot and mouth disease, and other kinds of diseases that have destroyed much of the livestock through the land. And yet, man still does not hear. Does not hear God's voice. Gives no attention unto it. Dismisses it as one of those things that just happens. But man seems so ignorant. Not seemed, man is ignorant of God's word. Job, in Job's book, it records there, he causeth it to come. And again we read, do we not, are those plagues, the finger of God. Yes, and yes, so there's the pestilence, the sword, go through the land so that it cut off man and beast from it. The last century, two great world wars, besides many others that have gone on in the history of this world, and wars that go on at this very moment, causing many to die, the sword going through the land, and still man does not hear. Noisome beasts, those dreadful animals, so vicious, yes, that no man can walk there because of the fear, the fear of the lion. And famine in the land, yes, break the staff of bread. Well, there's been various famines, and there are various famines now in this world. But man still does not hear. But then, let's turn this round here, this famine, to what God's word declares to us, a famine of hearing the word of God. A famine of hearing the word of God. And I look at myself before I say another word. I look at myself. Why? Yes, we perhaps hear many sermons preached, but how much of it abides? How much of it rests upon our spirit? How much real hearing of the word of God is found in my heart and your heart? So that it has a blessed, gracious, divine effect. How many times? We're about three quarters of the way through this present year. How many times have you, have I, gone home on our knees. A famine of hearing the word of God. How many times? There's two sides to real religion. How many times have we gone home rejoicing at what the Lord has done? Why me? Why me? O blessed God, why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Friends, there's a famine of hearing the word of God. The Lord doesn't say there'll be a famine of the assemblies of his people. It's true, the assemblies get fewer. But it's a famine of hearing the word of God. Well, this word here, verse 14. Well, verse 14. Verse 16. By verse 18 and verse 20 as well. They're all very, very similar. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, Job, were in it. These three men, they were upright. Job, the last one mentioned, there was in the land of Uz a man called Job. And the blessed word of God tells us exactly what he was. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. I think it records of Noah. Thee only have I seen upright of all men. Thee only. Daniel, why, what an upright man he was. Oh, those, how he stood faithful to God's word. Time and time again, though these three men, were in the land where the Lord would bring these four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. Now, we notice here in verse 21 that it says upon Jerusalem. It says here, in verse 13, when the land sinneth against me. Verse 21, when, how much more, when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem. Church of God. Peter tells us, does he not? That those last days, that the Lord, would begin with judgments in the house of God. Judgments in the house of God. Jerusalem, the church. Friends, and we do well, then, to look at ourselves. Here in this chapter earlier, it speaks of the man, or the woman for that part, that cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. See she for man whose breath is in his nostrils. Why, a word like this, yes, it lays an axe, does it not, at the very root of those that go unto an earthly man. Friends, you and I can, must only go to the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Judas Iscariot, he sinned badly, sadly, fell. Traitor. And he realized he'd done wrong. And he repented of his evil. But his repentance only brought him to the chief priests. Where does your repentance take you to? To be like dear Peter, why, he brought him to the feet of Christ. No, not literally. And dear soul, and you and I cannot literally go to the feet of Christ. But, it's Thou, God, seest me. The Lord sees the broken heart, the contrite spirit. Yes. Our friend read here this morning at the breakfast table this last chapter here in Isaiah 66. And it reads like this here in the second verse. And all these things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. To this man will I look, even to him that is contrite in spirit and trembleth at my word. Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in thee Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Well, lovely hymn, written by the late William Gadsby. The last verse is so, so solemn. And young and old, middle-aged, boys, girls, men, women, here this morning, listen to it. But if still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger, canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Thou art on the brink of danger. Nobody else, you, me. If still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou. Oh, it does make us tremble. Tremble at my word. And what a blessing it would be if this text this morning made us tremble at God's word. though these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job. Now then, I do want to speak carefully, lovingly. And I speak carefully and lovingly to all, but particularly to the younger ones. Yeah. Verse 16, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They shall deliver sons nor daughters. They shall only be, shall be delivered, but the land shall be less desolate. Why, yes, we have to ask God, do we not? Jeremiah 31. Your responsibility and mine. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Solemn words, but they're here in the Word of God, and they, this is the blessed book that we believe, the inspired Word of God, who cannot lie. These three men, Noah, Daniel, Job. Now, some of you younger ones and children, you have godly parents. And you no doubt hear, you have the family altar, you know, there maybe it's at the breakfast time in the morning, or maybe after the evening meal. Sometime there's this family altar, this family worship. Father takes the Bible, he reads it, and he prays. And he prays for you. He prays for you. And for the good of your soul. But though these three men were in it, yes, it's right that we should pray for our children. We should pray for one another. But they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. We have to pray for ourselves. You dear younger ones, we have to pray for ourselves. Yes. You may have a very good pedigree. Been brought up to chapel to attend the house of God since the day you were born. But you must have more than that. Don't rest there. I used to. I know what I'm talking about. I used to rest there. I used to think like this. Perhaps some of you younger ones think like it as well. Well, if I die, I should be all right. mother and father, members of the church. Father was a deacon at the chapel. And grandfather was a minister. I'd got aunts and uncles that were members of the church. I attended chapel Sunday morning, afternoon, evening. And as I got older, would go to chapel on Tuesday night to the prayer meeting, Thursday night to the preaching service. My pedigree was sound. I was all right. I certainly didn't know this word was in the Bible in those days. Perhaps you didn't know about it till this morning. Because it's not a part of the Word of God that we read that much. One may speak for others. Though these three men, though your mother, though your father, though your grandfather, though your grandmother might be there in the land, in the church, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. That's you. That's me. God says, but to this man will I look. But to this man will I look. There's a broken heart, a contrite spirit. They should deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Yes, they will pray. Noah, Daniel, Job, your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, they will pray for you. And so do the ministers that come here to minister to you. They will pray for you. I say again, you have got to pray for yourself. We mustn't rest on these false hopes. Mustn't close in, think, well, I'm okay, I'm all right. I shall be all right at last. I hope you will be all right at last. I pray that you will be all right at last. But, oh, to be graciously wrought upon by the power of the Holy Spirit of God to realize, to be brought to the realization that you and I, young and old, each of us, that we are sinners. And that being a sinner, we need a Savior. And that we must come before the Lord and plead with Him for mercy upon our poor never-dying soul. You've heard it many, many times. The quotation of the publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But have you ever prayed those blessed words, feelingly, sincerely, from your heart? you can repeat them. A parrot could repeat them. Wouldn't know what it was praying. Wouldn't know what it was saying. Parrot wouldn't know who it was speaking to, because it's not speaking to anybody. For a poor sinner to come and to realize that there is a God in heaven. The Lord is a sovereign in his dealings of how he will and does commence that work of grace in one another's hearts. It is indeed. Why, say some, it'd be like Saul of Tarsus. There'll be a cutting down on the road to Damascus, cutting down in paths of sin and iniquity. And another, there will be some circumstance, something in your life that takes place, and that you will be brought to realize that there is a mighty God. And that you are a great sinner. He's a mighty God, and you and I are mighty sinners. Yes. It is, don't despair, because there is a way whereby poor sinners may approach unto God. But you see, first of all, there's going to be this humbling of ourselves before him, before this mighty God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Peter's words in his epistle. What is it to humble ourselves? To fall down before him. Yes, for a sinner to come and plead. Yes. Yeah, I've just said that, and something comes to my mind. And it's here in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus there tells us, or was teaching the disciples how to pray. Teaching his people down through the ages of time. Teaching them this morning in Swayze Chapel how to approach unto God. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. He didn't say, don't use repetitions. He said, don't use vain repetitions. Vast difference. Said, I come, here on my heart, the burden lies, and past offences pain mine eyes. That's not vain repetition at the closing line of 737, give me Christ or else I die. It spoke written in sincerity, and it's written in poor sinners' hearts. But he goes on there in Matthew 6. Oh, that it may be so with one or more here this morning. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That is, secluded from all others.
From mother, father, brother, sister, wife, whatever, husband, from all others. Enter into thy closet and shut the door and pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's where to pray, dear soul. That's where we, and that, dear soul, is where we humble ourselves. It's where we humble ourselves. Poor Peter. Yeah. When he had denied his Lord with oaths and curses that I know not the man. When the Lord turned and looked upon him after the cock crew the third time. Oh, Peter went out quickly. He went outside. He was there in the judgment hall, but he went outside and he fell down on his knees. And there he cried unto the Lord. We're not told what his prayer was. It is hard, but we believe his prayer to have been in humble confession before the Lord. David, he sinned, and he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Acknowledging our sinnership. This all. Do we acknowledge our sinnership? Noah, Daniel, Job. They were sinners. Noah. Yes. Preacher of righteousness. But, yes, the flood. And you read this. And Noah built a vineyard. And you read, and Noah was drunk. Noah was drunk. He was a sinner. Though these three men are, but their righteousness. I was trying to find this last evening, and I couldn't find it. But I found it this morning. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The Lord, our righteousness. What a mercy, dear soul, if you and I can claim the righteousness of Christ. They shall deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. The imputed righteousness. Why? Whether I can find this. But there's a hymn here earlier in the book. And it speaks of the imputed righteousness of Christ. Imputed righteousness is strange. No. Cannot find it now, but it's here. Yes, here it is. 115. Imputed righteousness is strange. Nor will with human fancies range. We guess the lurking motive well, and Paul the hateful truth shall tell. The lofty heart cannot submit
to cast itself at Jesus' feet. It scorns in borrowed robes to shine, though weighed with righteousness divine. Proud nature cries with loathing eyes, this imputation I despise. And from it she will pertly start, till grace has broken down her heart. O give me, Lord, thy righteousness, to be my peace and wedding dress. My sores it heals, my rags it hides, and makes me dutiful besides. Well, good John Berridge knew something, didn't he? Yes, this righteousness. Yes, not our own. Our own righteousness is ours, filthy rags, O Lord, before thee. What does the dear apostle say to us? Here, I think it is, in Philippians, he refers to some of these things. Yes, he says this to us. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, this righteousness. The righteousness of God. You see, our blessed Saviour, the glorious Redeemer, Jesus, God's dear Son. Yes. He, blessed be his name, he took our sin and he nailed sin to his cross and he imputed unto poor, fallen man his righteousness. He finished, he accomplished, he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the holy law of God, and he imputed it unto poor fallen man. He died for our offences and he rose again for our justification. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, were in the land, were in Jerusalem, they shall deliver but their own souls. Dear soul, and you and I will deliver but our own souls through the blood, righteousness, and finished work of the blessed Saviour and the glorious Redeemer. Should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. See, the verse closes with, saith the Lord God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, says the Lord. My word shall not pass away. So these things need to be carefully considered. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. May you and I know the righteousness of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ imputed unto our souls to cover our defenceless head with the shadow of his wing.
the collections last Lord's Day were £735, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Field will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Pont will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 977. Deep are the wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. Hymn 977.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt pardon and forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Be with us now, the remainder of the day. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.